Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Greg, in Vegas, you said, you know, you want a guy who can slot in behind Crochet and be that, you know, 1B or 2. Obviously, kind of the same question as Jen asked, but do you feel like you could still add a very high-end starter via trade or free agency, or is this like the big name starter addition you guys will make?
You know, I don't want to, you know, kind of paint anyone and ourselves into a corner here. We felt like there was an opportunity to upgrade our rotation in 2026. And so we did that. It's early in the offseason. There are still, opportunities that I anticipate materializing. Exactly what those look like, I'm not sure, but we're not going to close off any chance to make the team better.
Time now for the Christian Arcand Show.
Yo,
it's all
good evening. Welcome in. It's the Christian Arcand Show here, WEEI, live in our Brighton studios. We are powered by Verizon. We are Boston Sports Original. And tonight, we're here with you for...
about 35, 45 minutes. Somebody open the window.
No, Mr. Jones. We're here for 4 full hours tonight on the eve of Thanksgiving. Whether you're traveling, whether you're cleaning your kitchen, whether you're doing some overnight cooking, whatever it is that you got on your docket tonight, thank you for sharing it here with us. We're with you until 10 o'clock, and got a big show tonight, a big, big show. Considering it's Thanksgiving tomorrow, I was worried that I wouldn't have much to get to. Instead, this is a very, very big news day. We have guests for the Patriots and the Red Sox tonight. Very rare that I have a double guest show, but this is one of those type of shows that constitutes one of those. And excited about that. The Celtics are playing. I'll give you updates on them as we go through it. I didn't even get to Bill Belichick last night and some of the rumors, which were addressed by Adam Schefter on these airwaves here today, which we'll get to all of that because maybe a little bit of sourcing off going on here, which I always love a good source off. And you may be seeing that right now between Jacina Anderson and Diana Rossini and Adam Schefter. Or was it Jacina Anderson? Now I'm confused. Who had the Belichick thing? I think that was Anderson now that I think about it.
Yeah, it was Jacina.
It was Jacina Anderson. Thank you very much. Rossini had some reports today as well, which we will also get to. But what I want to start on is some, I don't know, maybe just hindsight here on the Sonny Gray trade. We reacted to it yesterday. It broke during the midday show. I got to sink my teeth into it right at 6 o'clock. And I feel like since then, there's been a bit of a shift in tone, shift in mood surrounding this move. Now, there were some people who loved it right away and still love it, some people who didn't like it and still don't like it, but I do feel as though there have been, at least on my Twitter feed and, you know, listening to the station today, it does seem as though the mood has soured a little bit on this trade, and I'm kind of confused by that. I am. If this is the only move that gets made, fine. But as I said to Fitzy and Andy and Ted just now, I'm willing to give Craig Breslow the benefit of the doubt after the offseason that he had last year. I spent some time on this last night. I'm still willing to do that. And I also don't think that answer right there about it being too early to slot a guy in at any number was some kind of declarative statement about where you're going to have Sonny Gray pitching in the rotation. I don't think that was Craig Breslow stating with his chest, yeah, this is going to be our number two starter. That's checked off the list, and now we move on to the next thing. I don't think that that's what he was saying. That's not how I took it. And maybe I'm just, you know, looking at it through my glasses of, okay, well, this is a nice move, but I obviously want more than this. Certainly in the rotation, I want more than this. We can talk about Pete Alonso and some of these other bats on the market as well. It's not a lot of them other than Alonso, but that is another thing that everybody wants. And when I say everybody, I mean all Red Sox fans and also everybody in the league wants some right-handed power bats. Like, that's not a thing that you're going to be the only team bidding on, to be sure. With all that being said, however, I think that in general, the mood shifting towards potentially more negative is not so much a result of Sonny Gray as it is a result of Red Sox fans who were worried, and I understand this worried that last offseason was going to be the outlier. And then you're going to go back to off seasons of, well, we got Sonny Gray. He's 36 years old and probably only here for a year with that mutual option, but we got him, you know, we got this pitcher. He should be good, right? Like, you know, nice move, but not exactly what we were looking for. I think the big fear that Red Sox fans have, and I'll be honest with you, I have it in the back of my mind too, is that that was sort of a test balloon last offseason. John Henry decided, you know what? Let's get back in the game a little bit. Put out a couple of 2004 documentaries, a couple of seasons in a row missing the playoffs. You want to get those old feelings back. When Fenway was freaking electric, Sam Kennedy, like all that, I get that. You know, maybe that was sort of the test balloon, the trial balloon, because for the years prior to that, since Dave Dombrowski got fired, the Red Sox have been operating, and that group has been operating the Red Sox in a different way than they were 20 years ago, 24
freaking
years ago.
Electric.
And we all know it. Sorry, Sam, but I mean, we do all know that. Anybody could recognize that. The priorities have shifted. Everything shifted. They've become this, you know, huge company. They own these other teams. They have all these different, you know, elements of their portfolio. It's a whole thing, right? I mean, it's not just they own the Red Sox anymore and let's beat the Yankees. It's this whole thing. And to see the way that it's kind of cratered over the last, you know, 4 years. And when I say cratered, I don't mean that, you know, they completely bottomed out. But after 2018 in that World Series and winning that World Series, and not just winning the World Series in 2018, and I realize this was 7 years ago, but having the best season that any Red Sox team's ever had. I feel like that gets under-discussed when we talk about 2018. That was the greatest Red Sox team of all time. Maybe you like 2004 better, but 2004 was a wild card team. 2018, they were in first place wire to wire. They won more games than any team ever, and they won the World Series. Than any Red Sox team ever, I should say. And then won the World Series. And won it, you know, kind of going away. Until the end, I guess. But, you know, they breezed through for a round or two. And then had a great World Series. Beat a very, very good team. Dramatic World Series. All that. And it seemed like the future was very, very bright. And if you're of the age that you remember that very clearly, I mean, it's mostly who we're talking to here, if we're talking Red Sox fans, then you remember 2019 being a big bummer. And then 2020 with COVID and everything, the Mookie Betts trade, and oh my God, what's happened here? 2021, they make it to the ALCS, and then it's just nothing for a few years after that. And that ALCS run, in retrospect, looks more and more flukish as time goes by. Or it did, anyway, until this past season, where they finally decided to get serious in the offseason. Not, you know, Corey Kluber is your opening day starter, but actual an ace, a closer, a right-handed power bat, all the stuff that you wanted for every offseason leading into it since 2021, really since 2018. Let's be honest here, since Dombrowski got fired. Operating in a way that you've missed, that you've been dying for them to go back to. And the fear, I think, is now, well, is this how it is? Or was that just 1 year to get them back relevant again? Was that just 1 year, and maybe they weren't even thrilled with the outcome?
You're a liar?
Maybe. I'm just saying. That's a legitimate fear. That's a legitimate fear. And if that's how you're feeling, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong for feeling that way. The more I talk about it, the more I'm starting to talk myself into this too. But I don't want to go there because I want to believe. Like Scully and Mulder, I want to believe. That this Red Sox organization is as committed as they're telling everybody that they are to actually building and sustaining a winner. They took a big step towards doing that last offseason. Was it big enough? Alex Bregman opted out. Lucas Giolito, you're working on his replacement. And that, I think, is another part of this. Replacing Lucas Giolito. Jared Carabas talked about that on MLB Network. Can we pull this up? Let's grab this right now. This is Carabas talking about Sonny Gray as a potential replacement for Lucas Giolito. Listen,
it can be one of two ways. Is this Lucas Giolito's replacement in the rotation? Because if that's the case, then sure, I'm more than comfortable with that. But I think also in the idea of bringing back a Lucas Giolito, that's a guy that can help a team. Like I don't know, it was very strange in terms of like the replacement of Lucas Giolito. But Breslow wanted a starter that he could slot behind Garrett Crochet, and we thought it was going to be someone that kind of moves the needle. I'm not sure if this moves the needle. He's exactly what Breslow is looking for. There's swing and miss, and he doesn't walk guys. Like he checks the boxes that you would expect from a Breslow guy. So it makes sense from that standpoint.
Okay, Carabas there, and I hadn't really thought of it in those terms, but that's kind of what I'm getting at with this fear that Sox fans may be experiencing right now. Sonny Gray was brought in here to be Lucas Giolito's replacement, Lucas Giolito insurance. Okay, but that implies that Lucas Giolito is leaving. And if he's leaving, that's a big part of what made your rotation good last year. I know Giolito, everybody kind of faded down the stretch a little bit. But Giolito, there was a two-month stretch where Crochet, Giolito, and Brian Bello were about as good of a trio as there was in the American League, maybe in the majors, for about two-plus months. They were all three of them were just awesome. Giolito was on fire. Bello was on fire. Crochet was on fire most of the year. And that was around the time where they went on that crazy win streak. And it was just the three of them, really. I mean, it was the three of them. Bueller wasn't giving you much. He ends up getting released. The back end of the rotation, everybody got hurt. Dobbins, Fitz, everyone. I mean, by the end of it, Connelly Early's out there as your number three starter. Like, it was tough. It was a tough go there for a while. And I don't think that that's lost on this team. I just wonder if, you know, they're looking at it like numbers in the ledger. And if that's still what the primary focus of this team is, the ledger, and not, hey, we made a big turnaround last year. We had a chance to really do something there. We were up 1-0 on the Yankees. We could have knocked them out and gone on to the next round, but we were just a couple of bats short and a couple of arms short.
Never wrong, just early.
So is that how they're looking at it? Or are they looking at it, okay, we spent this much and brought in this many people, and then we extended these guys, and so that counted for that money, and then we offset it with the Rafael Devers money. And so, you know, it looks like financially we're going to be okay going in here, but if we're losing Giolito, we can replace him. That's about it. We got to get back to, you know, we got to get back to the ledger. We got to get back to making sure that the ledger's on point. And when that becomes your priority, as it was for most of the Chaim Bloom years, and I'd even say that first year of Breslow before last year when they allowed him to spend, then it just really, I mean, you see what the results look like. You see how it goes. They still won't do anything at the trade deadline, which is infuriating, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Understanding that we're underdogs this year right now where we are.
God, remember that? You're underdogs if you make yourself underdogs. If you make yourself into the underdog by setting a budget and refusing to go into the luxury tag or any of that. The Red Sox this offseason, I feel like, should not even be concerned about the luxury tag. This is the year, okay? You got a big CBA thing coming up, and who knows what's going to go on after that. How about you go all in here in 2026? How about you really go for it? How about you really try and make that happen? Because you do have all the building blocks. You really do. You have the ace. You have the closer. You have a prospect who's expected to be the next big thing in the majors. Or he's on, you know, on that list with some other guys, but he's right near the top of it in Roman Anthony. No question about it if he stays healthy. You got a lot to work with. You really do. And I don't think that Sonny Gray is a bad move. But I think that anything that comes out of Breslow's mouth that implies at all that this may be, all right, well, you know, now's the time maybe to start pivoting to something else. Like, we've taken care of the rotation. This is all set. deal with it. I hope you like it. Like that, if that's what you're hearing when you hear him talk, I get that. A lot of people still have, I don't know, Stockholm syndromes, maybe not it, like PTSD from the 4 years of not doing anything and not spending. I get that. I understand that. I do. But I am going to believe, and maybe I'm being a little gullible Arcant, although I'm considerably taller than Andy Hart, but still. Medium-sized gullible Arcant, normal-sized. I'm not even kidding. That's not even worth it. I'm going to go ahead and stick with that and believe that this wasn't a one-time thing. It wasn't just a one-time thing. I think that if that's the way they go about this, if they decide that, you know, we tried it, it didn't really work, let's reset, get back to the budget that we want and the one that we're comfortable with. We'll replace guys if they leave, but we're not gonna go crazy to try and, you know, tack on more contracts and more budget. Then there's going to be a very negative reaction from this fan base, I think, and that sucks. Because a team with all that in place shouldn't be screwing around the margins. They shouldn't. And I believe that they won't. I believe that they won't. But as we go into this Thanksgiving season here, I think we're all pretty thankful for the fact that Breslow was allowed to go out there and really, you know, flex a little bit, flex that checkbook, and extend Garrett Crochet and spend $40 million on Alex Bregman and a nice contract over there for Aroldis Chapman, and then extending him in season. Roman Anthony got a big extension. It seemed like they were back to being a big market team again. Or was that just, okay, we tried it, now we got to go back and reset the books? And that's what this offseason is going to be about. We'll see. We'll see what it's going to be about. So far, they haven't had to spend a lot of money. So far, they are getting a pretty big discount here on Sonny Gray because Bloom and the Cardinals are willing to pay $20 million of it. But I wonder. I wonder how much further they're going to go. I wonder how much more they have in store. If you listen to Breslow, then you would think that there's more to come. I can tell you who is not coming to the Boston Red Sox. Nah, we don't have to hit the breaking news for this. Actually, you know what, Braverman? We're right on top of it. Joe Braverman has some breaking news here on a move that was made in the AL East, not to the Red Sox. Here's Joe.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program.
Breaking news. Breaking news on WEEI is presented by the BetMGM Network. For all your betting needs, check out the newly rebranded BetMGM Network on the Odyssey app or locally on WEEI AM 850.
Free agency news in the MLB. According to John Heyman, Dylan Cease is going to Toronto. The Blue Jays and starter Dylan Cease have agreed to a 7-year deal worth $210 million. We are waiting further details, but first reported by John Heyman, Dylan Cease to the Blue Jays, 7 years, $210 million.
Okay, there you go. I was thinking you would say that in your trending, but that's okay. That's what I meant when I threw to you. But either way, there you go. Dylan Cease, who the Red Sox may have been targeting at the trade deadline. There was talk about that, a potential Jaren Duran trade, which would have netted them Cease and a couple other players. Between Dylan Cease and Sonny Gray, I like Gray a little bit better. I don't really like Cease that much. I think that he had a much more of a down year last year than Gray did. And for Gray, it was a bit of a down year as well. But I would take what you got from Gray over Cease, even though he's younger. I'm just not that big of a fan. Anyway, he's going to the Blue Jays. We're off and running here on the hot stove season. Red Sox making moves. Blue Jays making moves. For more on that, here's Joe Braverman with what's trending. And when we come back, we'll get the St. Louis reaction to this trade. What are the Cardinals saying? What are their people saying? We'll get to that next.
The coach and the quarterback are heard live here every Patriots Monday. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Mario's Roofing. We won't soak you to keep you warm and dry. The Celtics are currently hosting the Pistons from TD Garden. Detroit, the hottest team in the league, have won 13 straight games. They own the best record in the Eastern Conference at 15-2. They just hit halftime, and it is 58-57 Detroit. Is on top of the C's. Leading scorer for them is Cade Cunningham. He's got 17 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists. Leading scorer for the Celtics is Jaylen Brown. He scored 19 in that first half. Peyton Pritchard also contributed 11. Baylor Shireman has 13 points on 5 of 6 shooting off the bench. The Seas are 9 for 23 from 3. Reminder, this is also the final game of group play in the NBA Cup. The Celtics will be eliminated from the next round with a loss or a win tonight by the Knicks and the Heat. The Bruins are also in action as they end their 4-game road trip in New York against the Islanders. Jeremy Swayman gets the start in net. Matei Blumel is back in the lineup after a healthy scratch. Puck drop in a little less than from an hour at 7 o'clock. Patriots were back at practice today, gearing up for their Monday night matchup at Gillette with the Giants. Starting left tackle Will Campbell was officially placed on injured reserve with an MCL sprain, meaning he will miss the next 4 games. He will be eligible to return in the regular season finale in Week 18. The team also signed cornerback Miles Battle to the 53-man roster from the practice squad, and to fill Battle's spot on the practice squad, fellow corner rookie Brandon Crossley was signed. Also, kicker Andy Borregales was named AFC Special Teams Player of the Week after his 4 field goals against the Bengals last Sunday. He is the 5th Pats rookie since 2000 to win the award and the 4th this season. Other news in the NFL, center Frank Ragnow is ending his retirement to sign with his old team in the Detroit Lions. Running back Josh Jacobs will return for the Packers against those same Lions tomorrow. And quarterback Joe Burrow was officially added to the Bengals active roster, setting up his return tomorrow night against the Ravens. And as we just mentioned, according to John Heyman, Dylan Cease and the Toronto Blue Jays have agreed to a 7-year, $210 million contract. Homeowners choose Mario's Roofing because they're fair, honest, and provide quality services. Call Mario's Roofing today for a free estimate at 781-344-2420. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change while supplies last.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Initial interest going back even to the trade deadline, and then as you start to have conversations with free agents, with other teams, you can't perfectly dictate timelines. And I think in 2 short years here, I've learned that when you have an opportunity in front of you that makes sense, you need to act on it.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. It's the Christian Arcan Show, WEEI. It's Craig Breslow telling everybody yesterday that the initial interest in Sonny Gray dated all the way back to the trade deadline. And that would have been quite a deadline move. Certainly would have been better than Dustin May, I think. We all would have been happier with that if they had done what they did in addition to getting Sonny Gray. I don't know if the same characters were available. I don't know if the Cardinals had a similar asking price to what they had in the offseason. Oftentimes, teams don't. When you get to the trade deadline, the sellers go crazy. How desperate are you? How desperately do you need this pitcher that we have on our crappy team? How badly do you want our closer? How badly do you want our aging slugger, whatever it is that they have that you want? Because they get in bidding wars. They drive those prices up. They price a lot of teams out. And they do that and then say, oh, well, I guess we got to keep them. No big deal. And then they trade them in the offseason and get what they, you know, would get at a normal market rate. That happens all the time. If you're making a trade at the deadline and you're trying to acquire a player, odds are you're getting ripped off. Odds are. Not every time, but most of the time. And that's just the way it is. It's the way it's been for forever. Offseason, different story. Look at Garrett Crochet. The Red Sox wanted Garrett Crochet two trade deadlines ago, and the White Sox said, sure, we'll take Roman Anthony and we'll take Marcelo Meyer, and I think they wanted even more than that. I think that was like the starting point. Red Sox said, no thanks. Get to the offseason, how does Kyle Teal grab you? All of a sudden, the market's different. Now, that was for Garrett Crochet. I think we all agree that Sonny Gray, even though I like him and I think he's still got something left in the tank here, is not a guy who goes deep into games often. 180 innings and 30-something starts. You know, he goes about five and two-thirds, which isn't bad by any means, but it's not Garrett Crochet. I mean, he's not giving you that, and he's not giving you those kind of innings. He didn't miss any starts, and he is durable for a guy his age for now. There's question marks with him for sure. And to really dig into it, I decided to venture over into the world of St. Louis Cardinals radio, video, blogs, all sorts of stuff. And I happened upon this fella here named J.D. Heffern from the Locked On Cardinals podcast. And he did a whole opening segment on the Sonny Gray trade from the St. Louis perspective. And had this to say.
In his two seasons in St. Louis, he combined to go 27-17 in 60 starts, had a 4.07 ERA, an ERA plus of 101, 3.26 FIP, 1.164 WHIP. These are solid numbers, right? These are solid numbers for Sonny Gray, but not the number one type of stuff people expected out of him. The home run ball was a real problem for him. He gave up 46 dingers over the last two seasons. Set a career high this past year, serving up 25 of them, constantly having to do the neck turn because the home run ball was flying over the wall. It was rough watching that. If he was able to keep the ball in the ballpark, usually had a pretty good day by Sonny Gray, but when he got it up over the plate, it was getting rocked.
Okay, a couple of things. And this, I was going over his reference page yesterday looking for any things that were, you know, red flags, green flags, whatever. And on the peripherals, there's a lot of green flags. I understand the 4.28 ERA and the 96 ERA plus are nothing really to write home about. But I just missed the home runs. In the last 2 years, Sonny Gray has given up a career high in home runs last year, 2024. He gave up 21. That was at the time a career high. Last year, in more innings, he gave up, he broke his own record with 25 home runs allowed. So the last 2 years have been consecutive, breaking his own record, his career high in home runs allowed. And that's in St. Louis. Makes you wonder what it's going to look like at Fenway Park. And his numbers at Fenway Park are nothing really to be all excited about either. More so than that, though. St. Louis Cardinals fans, I told you, I believe to be some of the too friendly. In terms of like too friendly, they're at the top of the list when it comes to baseball fans. Overly friendly fans. And they're very positive. They're very positive people in general, even when the team's no good. And they don't seem to be too bothered by the fact that Sonny Gray was traded away for a lottery ticket, really, in Clark, let's be honest here. He's 22 years old, but that's a lottery ticket there. He could be something. He might not be. And Dick Fitz, who is, you know, a fun jersey to buy, but other than that, you know, didn't really give you all that much last year after those first couple of starts. That, I think, is something. And I know Cardinals fans are going to look on the bright side of everything, but I also think that if they really thought they were getting ripped off, if they really thought this was like a bad move and that Sonny Gray was a guy that they needed to keep, then you'd hear a little bit more of that, and I haven't heard any of that. I'm not hearing that at all. And Cardinals fans, you know, they talk. They got, you know, that's about as active as it gets down there in the sports media world. You know, like that's what they're talking about, that and the Blues. You know, like they don't have too much else to really get to. And that's fine. I mean, listen, you know, all markets are different, but the Cardinals are a big part of what sort of stirs the drink down there. And it doesn't seem like there is a whole bunch of bad feelings about this trade. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe everybody benefits from this trade. The Cardinals are a team that's rebuilding. They're a team that, you know, is on a different trajectory from the Red Sox. Therefore, they're moving on from a guy and getting younger. Don't really have much use for this veteran starter. Fine. But if they thought he was really worth a lot more than what they got back, then you would at least hear some of that. If you feel like you're not getting much of that at all. And that may not end up meaning anything. But I do take that into account. Because I think that there is something to be said, especially for a very in-tune baseball market like St. Louis. They care about that team down there. They do. Even in down years. I mean, they're right on top of what's going on with the Cardinals. And, you know, Sonny Gray, hey, it was a nice 2 years. They expected him to be a number one ace, you know, at age 35, 36. He wasn't that. And now he's gone. What do you expect Sonny Gray to be, Red Sox fans? What do you expect him to do? How do you expect him to pitch? Do you expect him to pitch like Brian Baio or like Lucas Giolito? Is he going to be, you know, give you those kind of numbers? Is he going to be that kind of starter? Is he going to be better than those guys? Is he going to be worse than those guys? Where do you sort of see this going? I think there's a whole range of potential outcomes here, and none of them really, to me, I understand that he does have a lot on the peripherals anyway, you know, strikeout rate, misses a lot of bats, doesn't walk a lot of guys, all that stuff that the Red Sox really like and that certainly Andrew Bailey really likes and Craig Breslow really likes when it comes to their pitching staff. Not just throwing breaking balls, Harold Reynolds, it's more than that, considerably more than that, I would say. But is that enough? Is that enough to be able to look at this rotation, this pitching staff in general, and to be able to say, yeah, okay, we can turn our attention to something else, circle back to this, you know, when we need to. And there's a long time now between here and February, all right, when the pitchers and catchers start reporting. You got a long time here. You got months of hot stove where, you know, this shouldn't really be something that is on your mind like that at all.
Bunch of breaking balls.
But we are Red Sox fans, after all, and last year's offseason was the outlier. Outlier. I always do that. That's legitimate. That's legitimate. This is a nice opening salvo, again, and I said the same thing last year. And last year they delivered. Last year they delivered in the offseason. I would hate to think that that's sort of the, okay, this is the bar. We don't have to clear the bar, but we just got to get back up to where the bar is. Lucas Giolito's at it. Okay, we'll replace him. We got Alex Bregman leaving. Okay, we'll try and replace the right-handed bat if we can. But, you know, we do have Meyer waiting in the wings to play third base. Maybe that's our replacement. I don't know. We'll see what they do. If they miss out on Pete Alonso, I feel like that's going to be pretty tough. It's going to be pretty tough to go in if you don't get Bregman back. It's not a lot of other options there for right-handed power. Certainly nothing to the level of Pete Alonso. We've gone over that list a few times. There's hardly anything on it. Real quick before we go to break here, Breslow was asked about what areas he plans to target next, and I thought this answer was an interesting one as well.
We've been pretty transparent about our desire to add to the rotation and our desire to add, a bat, on the position player side. It's impossible to know exactly what the order of operations will be. So we'll continue to look for opportunities to improve the team. But, you know, I wouldn't say we're going to exclusively focus on one thing at the expense of the other. We want to be open-minded and, so I don't think this is a, close off all opportunities and look exclusively at position players. But I also think that, you know, there's a chance that comes into focus now over the next couple of weeks.
Okay, that little bit at the end, that was a little scary. Because everything he said up until that little bit at the end, it made it seem like this was just a move This doesn't mean anything about what's going on after this in terms of, you know, shutting off, shutting the door, or not exploring other avenues or whatever. And then he goes, but that may come into focus here a little bit. Just play that last bit at the end, Joe, if you could.
You know, so I don't think this is a, you know, close off all opportunities and look exclusively at position players. But I also think that, you know, there's a chance that that comes into focus now over the next couple of weeks.
Okay, I don't like that there's a chance. I don't like that there's a chance of that. There should not be a chance of that. That right? Am I reading that right? Am I hearing that right? He said pretty plainly, this is not a situation where we're closing off the avenue of starting pitching and going just to position players. But it may get to that.
Sheriff, this is no time to panic. This is the perfect time to panic.
That's right. I mean, there's a chance. I guess there's a chance that it doesn't. But there shouldn't. You shouldn't be talking about that as a possibility at all right now. Surprised that he did. Surprised that he mentioned it that way. That is a red flag. That's a red flag. There were some green flags in what he said. That was a great big red one. And I hate that that was like the end of that answer.
Does the red flag supersede all the green flags that he said?
I mean, there were some other red flags too. I don't know. I'd have to go and listen to the whole thing over again. Count my flags. But I'm not sure. Anyway, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we'll get to your phone calls again at 617-779-7937. And it's Thanksgiving tomorrow. As we know, Thanksgiving's been extremely commercialized. A certain tradition, Thanksgiving tradition among younger people, has now been completely commercialized, and that bums me out. We'll get to that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday doorbuster deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top-load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Christian Arcan Show here, WEEI. Glad you played this song. Because I keep seeing TikToks and Instagram reels where it starts off someone singing this song, and then they pan around and there's someone with their back to the person who was singing, and then they start rapping. And it's like they rap over that. Like it's, I don't even really know how to explain. It's like Nicki Minaj. I don't know who it is. But I've seen that a lot. That song's making a big time comeback. Who's that? 10,000 Maniacs, I think? Pretty good. Pretty good. Good song. What's going on? It's a good song. I'll tell you what's going on. It's Thanksgiving tomorrow. And if you're on your way traveling, if you're home right now fixing up the house, getting ready to host like I'm doing tomorrow, Jones and Mego, I'm hosting. People are coming to my house. That means you're hosting. That's all it means.
No big argument on this side. We'll go one year without it.
I can't imagine why anybody possibly would other than those two idiots. But, tomorrow people are coming to my house. And we're going to have a nice dinner, watch some football, have some beers, and hang out. How's the weather supposed to be tomorrow? Do we know? It was really nice today. It was like T-shirt weather day. I couldn't believe it. I'm walking around. I'm having a great time. I don't know if it's going to be nice or not tomorrow. But whether it's rainy, sunny, snowy, sometimes you get snow on Thanksgiving, whatever it is. Do we have a weather report? No.
It's going to be, looks like a mix of sun and clouds with a high of, at least in Boston, 45.
45. Okay. A little sun, a little 45.
Yeah, that's not awful.
It's not bad. Not bad if you want to step outside. And if you're of a certain age, maybe around Thanksgiving, you've been doing a little stepping outside, if you know what I mean. A tradition unlike any other, when cousins get together, the Thanksgiving cousin walk is one that's been going on for my whole life, basically. I wasn't going on the cousin walk when I was a little kid or anything, but once I was of age to go on the cousin walk, that became, you know, a thing. And it's a great thing. It's a nice tradition. But that tradition now has been bastardized by Big Cannabis, who has decided to narc on everybody, basically. Listen to this.
Adults disappear for a bit before Thanksgiving. Maybe they're on a cousin walk. It's a newer term for probably an old tradition.
Time out. That is not a new term. Everybody just discovered it, I guess, but this is not a new thing. He's right. It's an older tradition, but it's not even a new term. It's the same term it's always been for the tradition, which is maybe it didn't have a name, I guess. We just left. You just put on your jacket and go. Anyway, keep going.
Giving to smoke some weed, of course.
Oh.
Nothing matters if it's not online, so people are now documenting their experiences for TikTok. Some say it helps whet their appetite for a big meal. Like if your vegan niece from Venice suddenly has a hankering for honey-baked ham, could be a cousin walk. Others say the walk helps them better deal with their relatives. So there's the cousin walk, then there's the stepdad walk where you start walking and you never come back. Oh. And the Glenn walk where you cover your microphone and say, let me tell you something.
Let me tell you.
While the munchies might
time out, real quick. It's kind of an edgy stepdad joke there, wasn't it? was that CNN? Who was that?
Okay. I think it's just a local affiliate, a local station.
Stepdad, he just walks away and never comes back. Oh, okay. Something happened in your life you want to talk about? No? Okay, whatever. Doesn't matter. It's all jokes. Thanksgiving family abandonment jokes like, you know, people like to make. This is kind of upsetting. This generation. I understand it's a new era. Back when we were kids, it was very illegal. It was very bad. You know, it was like this bad thing we were doing. Now it's like, who cares? You can go buy it in a store. But I was reading that this week is when these, you know, dispensaries have their biggest sales. And it's for the reasons they just mentioned. People getting together, cousins getting together, having to deal with family. There's always one family member that they vehemently disagree with on something. And for some reason, whoever that family member is always has to bring it up. And it gets you ready to eat. You know, get you hankering for some turkey. Now, I've never needed like any additional motivation to eat a big Thanksgiving dinner. But it's more about just sort of, you know, hanging out with your cousins, catching up with your cousins, especially if you don't see them that often. You only see them, you know, a couple times. And this isn't for everybody. Not everybody is into that. You know, it's not like you're a square if you don't do it. But it's one of those traditions that I just, you know, assumed it was kind of a thing, you know, for a lot of people. I was at college out in Boulder, you know, it was a big thing out there. And we had some Thanksgivings out there, and it was just, you know, part of what you did. And it was, you know, your cousins were there. That was another part of it, too. And now I feel like, what, you got to document it on TikTok? Hey, everybody, we're going on our cousin walk, smoking weed. I don't know, man. I don't know. Just weird. That's just weird, isn't it? Isn't it weird to do that? We're going on a cousin walk like it's a ride at an amusement park.
Yeah, that's something I would want to keep secret.
You know? And it's not, I mean, it's not even like illegal anymore, but you know, it's just, it's weird. It's weird that you want to show that off. Hey, look, everybody, look what I'm doing all the time. Look at every single thing I do all day long. Just look, watch. Look, I'm doing it right now. Hey, look, going on the cousin walk. It's just weird, you know, like just go and hang out with your cousin. Why do you have to stream the thing? Why do you have to, you know, like that's the part of that's, you know, because it's about hanging out. No one hangs out anymore. You have to watch me hang out. You have to observe me as I hang out, as I smoke a joint with my cousins who I haven't seen in however long. I can't just do that. No. You have to watch me do it. Like, it's just, you know, I sound like such an old a-hole. I know that, but I feel like this is like, I'm not sure how to really compare it to something like a holiday that gets over commercialized, but it's not really a holiday. It's like a holiday tradition that not everyone knew about. And now it's all low. You type in cousin walk into Google, there's a million think pieces about it. Every single news outlet has something on the cousin walk. It's unbelievable. Just type in cousin walk. It's all over the place. And it's only in the last couple of days. It's like, I don't know. Maybe just all the millennials now all of a sudden are working in newsrooms and they're like, oh, God, we're running low on Thanksgiving stuff. What do we got? You ever been on a cousin walk? No, go on. Oh, it's when you and your cousins before dinner go out and smoke a bowl. Oh, okay. Yeah, let's go. Everybody run with it. Everybody, let's all do a story on the cousin walk. And they all did. Now everybody knows about the cousin walk, which I feel like is kind of lame for, you know, people who are not 43 years old who wanted to go out and have a cousin walk. Now everybody's going to be making jokes about it. Oh, wow, everybody goes on the cousin walk like it was supposed to be like a secret thing, you know? But now it's just everybody knows about it. Now it's just a big, you know, big whatever. Another part of my childhood getting bastardized for likes and clout on the internet. Lame. I think it's lame. I do. But you know what? Genie's out of the bottle now. Gonna have to do something else.
Well, considering a new report just came out that said half of your Thanksgiving guests are likely to be stoned.
That's a new report?
Oh, I'm looking at a Lafayette news outlet and says, according to multiple new report, it's not a probably that half of your Thanksgiving guests will be stoned. The research shows it's almost a sure thing.
Okay. Cousin walks. That's what it's all about. But maybe this year, you know, with all these eyeballs on the cousin walk, maybe that's not going to be the same anymore. We'll see. Anyway, that's what's going on.
Another trend you're... parents will ruin.
maybe, yeah. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll have more Thanksgiving stuff later on in the show. Will Campbell has been placed on IR. New York Giants pass rusher has some thoughts on Drake May. We'll get to some Patriots stuff. Tom King will join the show at 7:30. That's all coming up next here on the Christian Hurricane Show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.